Today's daf is Megillah daf Tezvav, and we are 13 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis Amar Rav Nachman. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, of Vadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chayim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, Eliyoze ben Brindel, Mordechai Israel ben Esther, Chayim Gavriel ben Esther Chaya, Miriam bas Chaya, Chayim ben Shendel, Chana Rifka bas Freda, Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mendel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yota, Gittel bas Chaya, Sarah Nechama bas Rus, Malka Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roza, Chaya Nechama Edel bas Sarah, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sarah, Fegel Liba bas Chava, Sarah Shainza bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Hena Pero bas Yechevit, Rafal Kahas ben Fego, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf's also being learned to Eloi Nishmas, Toiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So the Gemara is in the middle of a little bit of a digression. And that is, the Gemara brought a braisa on daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph. Arbam u'shmoyne neviyim, v'sheven neviyos nisnavu lehem liyisrael. The Yidden, throughout their history, when there was nevuah, if you tally up the amount of neviyim that the Yidden had, we had 48 male neviyim and 7 female neviyos. The Gemara doesn't mention who the 48 neviyim were. Rashi mentions 46. Then Rashi says, Shnayim lo yodati, the other two he doesn't know. But the Gemara does mention who the 7 neviyos were. Maninu, Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, and Ashenogeil inyonenu, Esther. So the Gemara begins with a postscript to this Chazal. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Loya yehirusa lenashi. It's not befitting when too much prominence is attributed to a woman. How do you know that? Because Tarti Noshi Yehiron Havyon. There were two women that were very, very choshev in Tanakh, Vesanyon Shmayo. Yet their name is something they usually connotate, something that's not so nice. Chodesh Maziburta, one of these very prominent women's name means a bee. Devorah, a Devorah is a bee. V'chadosh makar kushta, and the other one's name means weasel. A chulda is a weasel. Now, by ziburta, Rav Nachman continued and said, "Ksivba." It says regarding the ziburta, meaning regarding Devorah Nevi'ah, it says v'tishlach v'tikra l'varak. She wanted to send a message to Varak, and instead of her going herself to Varak, which would have been maybe more proper, she sent a shliach. Rav Nachman said that's not really the way she should have done it. She was chashuv, and she didn't really handle her chashivas properly. She didn't do it herself. Karkushta, and as it relates to the karkushta, meaning chulda hanaviyo, psivba, it says regarding her, imru lo ish. She was talking to the king at the time, and she referred to the king, not as the king, but rather imru le'ish, v'loy amra, she didn't say what would have been more appropriate, and that is imru le'melach. So Rav Nachman said, lo ya'e yehirusa le'nashi. And really, he based it on two things. Number one, the names themselves. Devorah is a bee, a chulda is a weasel. This is the name of such chashuva women. So you see that maybe it's not matim. And besides, he had rayas from Sukkim that you see that both Devorah and chulda, they didn't seem to respect their position of prominence in the proper way. And that was the comment that Rav Nachman made. Rav Nachman continued. He made another comment as it relates to Chulda. Chulda mibnei bonav shal Yeshua haisa. Chulda was an enikel of Yeshua benun. How do you know that? Ksif hach, it says over here regarding Chulda that she was ben charchas. Ksif hasim, and it says regarding Yehoshua besimnas cheres. So we have a gzeira shava, charchas, cheres, and that attributes chulda to the great Yeshua benun. Fake the Gemara, Isvei Rav Eino Sabad Rav Nachman. So after Rav Nachman said that chulda had yichus from Yeshua benun, so Rav Eino Sava, literally Rav Eino the elder, was there, and he asked Rav Nachman a question. His question was from a braisa. The braisa says, Shmoyne Neviim. There were 8 Nevi'im. All 8 of these Nevi'im were also Kayhanim. They descended from Rachav Hazayin. Who were these 8 Nevi'im that were also Kayhanim? Neiria, Baruch, Usraya, Machseya, Yirmiyo, Chilkia, Chanamel, and Shalom. Rabbi Huda said, Af Chulda Hanaviyah, Mibnei Bnei Asher Rachav Hazayin. Rabbi Huda added and said that Chulda Hanaviyah also came from the descendants of Rachav Hazayin. How do you know the Ksifach? It says regarding Chulda ben Tikva, Viksif Hasam, and it says regarding Rachav as Tikva. tikvas chotashani. We have a gzer shava between the words tikva and the word tikvas. So what was Rav Eina Saba's kasha? He said that how could you tell me chuldas an edikol from Yeshua ben Nun? Chuldas an edikol from Rachav Azayna. And if she's an edikol from Rachav Azayna, she can't be an edikol from Yeshua ben Nun. And what did Rav Eina Saba mean to ask? Yeshua ben Nun lived at the same time as Rachav Azayna, and they didn't seem to be related in any way. So if that's the case, if she's an enikel of Rachav, she l'chura can't also be an enikel of Yeshua ben Nun. So Rav Nachman said, Chulda mi b'nei banav shal Yeshua ha'isa, isvei Rav Eina Saba, the Rav Nachman from a braisa that mentions a whole bunch of Nevi'im that came from Rachav Azayna. Rav Yehuda added to that list, Chulda. So if she's an enikel of Rachav, she can't be an enikel of Yeshua ben Nun. Amalei. So Rav Nachman told Rav Eina Saba, quote, Eina Saba, Eina the elder. Some say that the way Rav Nachman referred to Rav Eina Saba was as pachsia uchma, black vessel. That was an expression that was sometimes used to describe Talmidei Chachamim. But either way, Rav Nachman said, "Mini uminach destaim shmaita." What I'm saying, I know is true. I have a messiah for my rebbes that this is the way it was. Obviously, what you're saying is also true. You have a messiah, so we must say that what I'm saying and what you're saying are both true. And if that's the case, now we know the rest of the story. Must be the Igaira. Rachav Azayna was Megayer. Venos for Yeshua, she married Yeshua. And it's true that Chulda was an enikel of Rachav. It's also true that Chulda was an enikel of Yeshua ben Nun. How could it be? They're two very distinct personalities that lived at the same time. Must be they were married. What do you mean? Rachav Hazoyna, she wasn't even Jewish. She's living in Eretz Canaan at the time that the Yidden leave Mitzrayim and all the miracles and everything is taking place in the Midbar. It's true, but at the same time, she was Megayer and she married none other than Manhigan Shal Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun, and Chulda was a descendant of that Zivuk, says the Gemara. Mi havalei Zayr Yeshua. Could this even be? There's even a bigger problem. There's a much larger issue over here by saying that Chulda was an enikel of Yeshua ben Nun, because you're implying that Yeshua ben Nun had children. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim when it goes through the yichus of Shevet Ephraim, so it says Nun benoy, and then it says Yeshua benoy, and that's where it stops. Yeshua is the last of this shalsheles, of this lineage that's mentioned attributing itself back to Shevet Ephraim. And it sounds like Yeshua ben Nun didn't have any children. So how can you tell me Chulda was a descendant, even if he married Rachav Azayna, but it's not possible that he had a child? Because we have a messiah that Yeshua ben Nun had no children. So the Gemara says, no, b'nei loy havile. Yeshua ben Nun didn't have any sons, of a bunson havile. But really, he did have daughters, and therefore, it is possible that Chulda is a descendant of Yeshua ben Nun, albeit not from a son, but rather from a daughter. So the Gemara says like this. We just mentioned that Rachav Azayna was Zoicha, that she had 8 Nevi'im that came from her. Neria, Baruch, Sroya, Machseya, Yirmiyo, Chilkiya, Chanamel, and Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda added that even Chulda. So the Gemara says, Bishloi me'inu mefarshi. Of the 8 that we just mentioned, 4 of them, we have a Mesoira that they were Nevi'im. Yirmiyo was a Navi, Chanamel was a Navi, Baruch was a Navi, and Siroya was a Navi. Elav, Asayim, Minolon. The other 4, we have no Makar anywhere that they were Nevi'im. Now, the truth is, the other 4 that we don't know were Nevi'im were the fathers of the 4 that were Nevi'im. But the Gemara's kasha is, the sons we know in Nevi'im. We have no makar anywhere that the fathers were. So the Gemara says, Geshmaki teretz k'da'ula. This supports something Ula said. Amar Ula said, Kamakum sheshmai v'shem av the Nevi'os. Anytime the Torah or Nevi'im Muksuva mentions a Navi, and it mentions not only the person that was the Navi, but it mentions the father's name as well. B'yaduashu Navi ben Navi. If we're mentioning the father as well, must be the father was also a Navi. Shmoi v'loy shem aviv. Let's say we mention a Navi, but we don't mention the father's name. B'yaduashu hu Navi. That means that he himself was a Navi. V'loy ben Navi, but his father wasn't a Navi. Shmoi v'shem iroi mefayrish. What if you know the name of a city? We mention a Navi, and then we mention the city that he comes from. B'yaduashu me'oisoir. It must be that he came from that city. Okay, that's obvious. Shmoi v'loy shem iroi. If, however, we mention the name of a Navi and we don't mention the city that it comes from, b'yodua shehum Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim produced the disproportionate now the Nevi'im. So unless proven otherwise, we would always assume that the Navi was a Yerushalayim Yid, because the Nevi'im, b'derech klal, came from Yerushalayim. But either way, says the Gemara very geshmak, that it's true. We only know mefurish that 4 of these 8 Nevi'im that were mentioned were Nevi'im, but the other 4 were their fathers. And if we know that the son is a Navi, and we know who the father was, like Ula said, Biyodua, that's a Raya Shu Navi Ben Navi, and that's the Makar to this idea that these 8 were all Nevi'im, and you see Rachav HaZoyna was Zoycha, that 8 Nevi'im came from her. We're going to talk about this a little bit in the raid. The Masisa Tana, but there was a Braisa that elaborated on this point. Kol Shem Maiso, Maiso Avoysev Stuman. Anytime you find a father and a son mentioned, and you know who the son was, but you don't know who the father was, or you know who the father was, you don't know who the son was. Upar L'cha Chaseb Echem L'Shvach. So you know one of them was good, one of them was a tzaddik, but you don't know who the other one was. Keep going. Tvar Hashem Ashehoyel Tzefanya Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia. So we know who Tzefanya was, but we don't know who his father Kushi was. B'yadush who tzaddik ben tzaddik. So again, you have a father and a son. We know something about the son. We know something about the father. We know who the father is. We know who the son is. We know a little bit about either the father or the son. We don't know anything about the other. Whatever we know about the father or the son must be true for the other as well. The same is true in the reverse. Let's say you would know there's a father-son. I know about either the father or the son. The thing I know is actually a bad thing. We'll make the same exact assumption. We're going to assume that whatever bad thing we know about the father or the son is true for the other as well. Again, what's an example of that? B'chidesh HaShvi, Ba Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama. So who is Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama, and what was he about to do? B'chodesh HaShvi. B'chodesh HaShvi is Chodesh Tishrei, and he's the person that killed Gedaliah ben Achikam. Killed Gedaliah ben Achikam on Rosh Hashanah. It's a nitcha, therefore we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. We fast the day after Rosh Hashanah. But Yishmael was a Rasha. He killed Gedaliah ben Achikam. We don't know who his father Nesanya was. But if we know Yishmael was a Rasha and he's ben Nesanya, must be that he's a Rasha ben Rasha. Amr Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Malachi zeh Mardechai. Rav Nachman said that Malachi, the Novi Malachi, as in Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, you want to know who he was? He was Mardechai. Why was it called Malachi? Because he was the second in command. He was the Mishlo Melech after Achashverosh, after the Venapachul Yehudim. He took over Haman Shteller. And because he was the Mishlo Melech, he was called Malachi. Now Rashi doesn't explain what Mishlo Melech has to do with Malachi. The Marsha does Ayin Shot. Meisvei, but the Gemara asks a kasha. Is that true? Is it possible to say the Malachi was really Mardechai? I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa. Baruch ben Neiria, Usroya ben Maseya, the Daniel, Mordechai Bilshon, the Chagai, Scharia, Malachi, Kulam, the Snap of Shnash time of the Dayovish, the Old Sendabu, in the second year of Dayovish's reign. What's the problem? The problem is we have one braisa that mentions Mordechai Bilshon, also known as Mordechai Atzadik, and it mentions Malachi. Clearly, they're not the same person. The Gemara says, Tufta, checkmate. Tanya, braisa, I'm Rabbi Shulman Karcha. Rabbi Shulman Karcha said, Malachi is the Ezra. It's true. It's not Mordechai, it can't be. Who was it? It was Ezra. The Chachamim say, Malachi Shmoy. No, you want to know who Malachi was? Malachi is Malachi. Say Chamej. It doesn't have to be anybody else. He has to be Mordechai. He doesn't have to be Ezra. He's his own person. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, we have three pshatim. Either he's Mordechai, which the Gemara seems to immediately have rejected, Tiofta, or he's Ezra, or maybe no, Malachi is Malachi. So Rav Nachman said, Mestaber, Kaman Dama, Malachi is Ezra. It's Mestaber, like the Man Dama that says, the Malachi is Ezra. The Chzib Nevius Malachi, because it says regarding the Nevius of Malachi, quote, Bogdo Yehuda, so Malachi is talking about something very bad that's taking place in Yerushalayim. What's that terrible thing? Yehuda, the Jews, they were mechalel the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, uva'al bas el nechar, and they were boil nashim nachriyos. They're getting married to non-Jewish women. Okay, this is something that Malachi is busy with. He's concerned with. This is a contemporary issue in the times of Malachi. So why is that a raya that Malachi is Ezra? Zok Rav Nachman, because if you know Jewish history, uman afresh nashim nachriyos. Who's the one that made sure that the Yidden wouldn't be married to nashim nachriyos? Who's the one that came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael and he saw the Yidden were married to nashim nachriyos and he made sure that they would separate, and he brought Kedusha, Tyrus, HaMishpacha into Klal Yisrael. Ezra, it was Ezra, the Chziv, we have a pasuk for that as well. Vayan Shechanya ben Yechiel mibnei Eilam, Vayomer le'Ezra, Anachnu ma'alnu be'loikeinu, Vanoyshev nashim nachriyos. So you see that Ezra was Isaac in this Inyan, and Malachi was as well. And there was a Messiah, the Chachamim said, the Malachi is Ezra. So said Rav Nachman, is it a Raya? No. Is it checkmate? No. Is it Shmamina, Shmamina? No. But Mistabra, yeah. It's Mistabra just based on putting and connecting the dots of history. You see, Malachi and Ezra, they both seem to be focused on the same Inyan. And if that's the case, it's Mistabra, Malachi's Ezra. Now, the truth is that Rashi and Tosfos and the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Svarim throughout Shas seem to take on Lamaskana, the Malachi was Ezra. It's a big deal. There's a whole Sefer in Tanakh called Sefer Malachi. Chag Yisrael Malachi are mentioned in many different contexts throughout Shas. So it'd be very interesting to know who Malachi is. Every time you see Malachi, you have to think, Vahi b'me'ach HaShveresh, you're thinking about Mordechai. Is Malachi Ezra? That's interesting. Maybe Malachi is just another great Navi. The Pashtus is like the Maskana of our Gemara, which is what Rav Nachman said, Mistabra Kamanda Amar Malachi Ze Ezra. Stating that, the Rambam in a few places seems to talk about Ezra and Malachi in the same sentence, which led a lot of the Mefarshei HaRambam to believe that the Rambam did not come out of this Gemara like the Mistabra of Rav Nachman, but rather he held like the Chachamim who said Malachi Shemoi, which is really the Rambam in the Sogyo. It's only Rabbi Shua ben Karcha who said Malachi is Ezra. And he's a Yachid Keneged Rabbim, and usually Yachid V'Rabbim, Malachi K'Rabbim. So even though we always speak out, Malachi is Ezra, Malachi is Ezra, and it's based on, for sure, without question, the Pashtos. But there is a Shittas HaRambam, something worth talking about, maybe one of these days. Tanu Rabbanon, Arban Noshim Yefeifi Yais Hoibayim. There were four exceptionally beautiful women to live in the world. Sarah, V'Avigayel, Rachav the Esther. And the Gemara says, the Mandam Esther Yerakroikis Ha'isa. According to the Mandam, who was that? Rabbi Shur ben Karcha, who said that Esther was really Yerakroikis. Just she had some chutzal chesed, some divine chesed that was given to her, that whoever saw her had a tremendousness, she had a tremendous nesias chen in their eyes, but really she wasn't inherently beautiful, so she can't be from the Arba Noshim Yefeifi Yishabayilam. So you have to remove Esther. Mapik Esther Mayel Vashti. Instead of Esther, it's going to be Vashti. Tosfos on the top of the Amen asks Akasha that the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Dafnun Chesam Aleph, that Sarah, as beautiful as she was, but Lifnei Chava, in the presence of Chava, she was Kikoif Bifnei Adam. So it sounds like Chava was much more beautiful than Sarah. So how could you have a list of Arba Noshim Yefeifi Yisheba Olam and not mention Chava? So Tosfos says, V'yeshloimar, D'loichoshev Elo Oysen HaNoldois Me'isha. Chava was created literally Maisa Yodav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, she's not listed because we're talking about children that were born in a natural way, they were born from a mother, and that's the chiddush that these noshim were the yefeifi yishabayim tanu rabbanan. So we just mentioned the arba noshim yefeifi yishabayim. So the Gemara is going to elaborate with another brayso. Rachav bishma zinsa. A person who would mention Rachav's name, it can create such a taivas for gilui arayis that she could come to znos. Yael b'koylov. Someone heard Yael's voice, that can lead to gilui arayis. Avigail b'schirasa. If somebody remembered Avigail, Micha b'shol, who was also very beautiful, she's not mentioned in this list, b'riyasa. If somebody saw her, that can lead to gilui arayis. Amar Rav Yitzchok, Yitzchok said, kolo ime Rachav Rachav, miyad nikri. If somebody would say Rachav Rachav, he would come to carry. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Ana mina Rachav Rachav." I said it. V'loyichpesli, and nothing ever happened to me. Amalei. Rav Yitzchok told Rav Nachman, "Kikam mina b'yoydu b'makiri." I'm talking about someone that knew her. Someone that knew her miyad nikri. If you don't know her, you just say the word Rachav. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything. Returning to the Purim story. So, achar advarim ma'ela gidel amelach achashverish as Haman ben Amdasa. Haman is given this tremendous prominence, and the king commands that every single person should be kerem shtach of the dam. And everyone did. But there was one person who Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtach. And it bothered Haman very, very much. Haman had everything in the world. But there was one Mordechai that wasn't giving him what he wanted. And a Balgaiva needs it from everybody. And as a result, it's gebrent to the point that he decided he's going to take revenge from Mordechai. But not just from Mordechai, from Am Mordechai, from all the rabbis. But then he said, no, not only from all the rabbis. I'm going to go after every single Jew. And he goes over to Achashverosh and he makes a proposition. He says, here's the deal. I want to take revenge from the Jews. I could understand, maybe you won't want to. He gives them Lashon Hara, explains to them why he doesn't think economically and socially and for all these other reasons it's going to be a problem. Not just that, he offers him 10,000 kikar kesef if you allow him to go ahead and do what he wants. The Gemara says that Achashverosh was literally waiting for an opportunity. He wanted a political angle for him to be able to do this anyways. Moshe l'hamav Achashverosh l'mad avadayma. And he was so excited, he said, Akesef nasan lach, I don't need your money. Va'am, do whatever you want with them. So Haman decides that what he wants to do is we're going to annihilate the Jews and we're going to pick a day, and this is going to be the day that we're going to go after them. How do you determine the day? So he made a girl, he pulled Purim, and the girl came out Chodesh Adar. He was very happy when it came out of Chodesh Adar because he knew that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, and he assumed that Moshe Rabbeinu died during Chodesh Adar. Must be the Jews have a bad mazel in Chodesh Adar. Now he didn't know the rest of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu was also born, and the Misa was itself delayed, like we spoke about from the Halakha Chasam Sofer. But the point is, he was very, very excited, and he puts this decree in place. And the decree is that in Yud Gimel Adar, that's going to be a Zman Kila L'Chol, and everyone's going to be able B'chol Medinos Hamalchus, literally Mehoidu Vat Kush from Sea to Shining Sea. Every single Shagas is going to be able to do whatever he wants to do with any yid. And as soon as this happened, Mordechai, who had a position of prominence, was made aware of this. Mordechai Yoda es kol asher nasa. So the Gemara says, what did he do? Vayizak, he went out and he screamed and he yelled, Za'aka gedoyla umara, says the Gemara. My Omar, what was this za'aka? Rav Amar, Rav said, he said, quote, Gova Haman me Achashverosh. He said, Haman's even worse than Achashverosh, meaning Mordechai knew Achashverosh, and he knew who he was handling with, and he realized that he was no great friend of the Jews, and he knew Moshel le Haman v'Achashverosh l'mad avadayimah. But he didn't know Haman, and now he saw who Haman was. He said, wow, I always thought we had to contend with Achashverosh, and this was something that he was tiptoeing around. It was a situation that Mordechai was very cognizant of. But now, all of a sudden, Haman arrives at the scene, and Ezag, and that was the Vayizak, that was the scream. He said, Gover Hama me Achashverosh. Shmuel HaMashmuel said something else. He said, Gover Malka Yila mi Malka Tata. And what this means is really Balash and Saginar. He said, the Malka Tata, this Malchus Achashverosh, looks like it might be overpowering the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch. There's no way Davish really wants this. But it seems like this is a Malchus that has a special Kayach. And he was very, very worried about this Malchus. So he goes and he starts realizing, does Mordechai, what's going on here. He says, look at this. This is terrible gzeira. Just so happens, Esther, Hamalka, my niece, my wife, is right now living in the king's palace. So this is maybe an opportunity for Esther to get involved. So he sends a shliach to go to Esther and tell Esther was tutzach. So Mordechai knew, but Esther didn't know. So Esther finds out about the schalchal amalka. So Gemara says, my God, the schalchal, oh my Rav, Rav said, she's a nida. She became a nida out of fear. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, she had to go to the bathroom. Atikra Esther lahasach. So Esther sends for hasach. Oh my Rav, Rav said, hasach said Daniel. Who was hasach? Who was Daniel? But I'm going to shema hasach. Why was he called hasach? Shechotchu megdulasai. Because he lost his godless, meaning when he was in Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus, apparently he had a much higher position. Now, in Achashverosh's Malchus, he didn't have that same position. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochen Alpiv. He wasn't called Hasach because he was chopped. He was called Hasach because of the fact that they used to the contrary. He was a person of such prominence that everything used to be done based on what he said. So Esther sends Hasach to Mordechai. Why? Lodas Mazal Mazal, to try to inquire a little bit more. So again, she knows something's going on now, but she wants to know the rest of the story. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Sholcha Loi, what does it mean? Amaza, Amaza, Shema Av Yisrael, Achimichchum Shei Torah. He said, Mordechai, tell me, you know what's going on the street. You know what's tutzach in Bismedrish. You know what's tutzach in the Gesalach. Is it because the Yidden are not keeping the Torah? Dichsiv Bahem. So Lodas Maza Val Maza literally means Maza Val Maza, what's going on? But the Pnimius, of the Yidden not keeping the Torah, is this an amaza v'amaza or a mizeh u'mizeh in ksuvim? Problem v'ayigidu l'mardchai es divrei Esther. So they told Mardchai divrei Esther. Says the Gemara of Ilu, Iu loy osna l'gabe. But Hasach himself didn't go back to Mardchai. Mikan, you'd see from Isha, ima shivin ala klola. They're not supposed to respond with divrei klola. So if somebody sends you with a shlichus to find out what's going on and you've realize that the news is not so good, don't go report the news by yourself, but rather send somebody else and go ahead and do it. So Esther tells Mordechai, this is what I'm thinking. Lech knoises kol ha-Yehudim. I want you to go gather all the Yehudim, and I want you to go ahead with Tzuma Elai. You should fast 3 days, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do on my end. I'm going to go, and I'm going to appear in front of Achashverosh, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to do it. But Esther realized that even though she's the queen, and she's in the Malchus, right, this is like mamash, her moment, everything is starting to make sense. But she, at the same time, chapt, that at the end of the day, if the Yidden are not fasting and they're not davening and they're not learning, it's not going to happen. Right? It was very nice, all the hashkacha up until this point. But still, at that time that she's going on this mission, it was very, very important that everything happened. But she tells Mordechai, I'm going to go to the king. Ashaloi kados. What does that mean? Amrabab, Rabab said, Ashaloi kados haya. This was unusual. Because Esther never went by herself to be with Achashverosh. And it was based on maybe halachic issues. At the end of the day, Achashverosh is a non-Jew, and she is a Jew, and she's an Eish HaSesh, right? There were a lot of different complicated halachic issues. Esther Karka Olam, Ksuba Stavkim, like, there's a lot of issues over here at play. So it wasn't so simple for her to be able to go. So she only went when she was told. If Achashverosh was Taiveya, so she had no choice. So she always went Ba'onis, but she said, V'achshe Beratzen, now I'm going to go Beratzen. And then she told Achashverosh, then she told Mordechai the immortal words, V'kasher Avadati Avadati. What she mean to say? G'shem Shavadati Mebeis Abba, Kach Oved Mimcha. Said, you know, I lost my parents, but I had you. You were my husband, but I'm not going to have you either. Why? Because up until this point, every time she was Achashverosh, she was Ba'onis. So even though she was an Eishes Ish, but an Eishes Ish, that's Mezana Ba'onis, is Mutter to her husband. But now that she's going willfully, so now she's going Beratzen. So now she's going to be also to her husband. So she said, V'kasher Avadati, Avadati. So Mordechai hears that Esther wants a Tainus. What we know today is Tainus Esther. So the Pasuk says, V'yava Mordechai. So Mordechai went ahead. And Mordechai made a tainus, but the pasuk says vayavar. It's an interesting lashon. Vayask cholasha tzivsa olav Esther. So what does this word vayavar mean? Amar Rav such a heavy yom rishon shal pesach patainus. Vayavar means he violated. He was over. Like an Avera almost. He violated the first day of Pesach. First day of Pesach is supposed to be a Yontif. But he went and they fasted on the first day of Pesach. Shmuel HaMashmul said, the Avar Arkuma Demayev. Avar means he had to cross over a body of water. What does that mean? He was going to notify all the Jews of what was going on. So to cross over this body of water, that's what it means, Vayav. We're going to get back to this as well. Vayibayim HaShlishi, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. It was on the third day, right? The third day of fasting. So she put on her Malchus. What do you mean, Malchus? She put on her royal garb. But the word begadim seems to be missing over here. Amar Abelazam, Reb Chanino, Malami, we learn from Mishal, Lovshisa, Ruach HaKodesh. But it means she put on Ruach HaKodesh. Malchus means Ruach HaKodesh. Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Vatilbash, V'ksiv Hasam, and it says there, V'ruach Lofsha Es Hamasai. So you see the word Lofsha can mean Ruach HaKodesh, and the point is, she's somehow tapped into some Nevuah, to some Ruach HaKodesh, and that's the way she's coming now to Achashverosh. So the Gemara is going to do what it always does in Agadah to Gemara, and that is, digress. So we just mentioned Amar Abelaza, Amar Abchanina, which is critical to the narrative. We have a lot of momentum, but this is what the Gemara does. The Gemara digresses. And the Gemara is going to now mention a whole bunch of different things that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Zok the Gemara. V'omer Rabbi Elazar, om Rabbi Chanina. Lo yimati b'rechasei dikhal b'inecho. If someone gives you a bracha, even if he's a hedyet, don't make light of it, meaning appreciate what a bracha is. Shari shnei gedoylei hadar, berchem shnei hedyotis. There were two gedoylei hadar, people that you would go to a bracha for. They received brachas from Hedyotis v'neskaibam behen. And the bracha had an impact. Elohein, David v'Daniel. Talk about G'day Liadar. David got a bracha from a Hedyot, the Barche Aravna. The Chsiv Ayem Aravna El HaMelech. He gives him a bracha, and it played out. Daniel, the Barche Daryavesh. Daniel got a bracha from a Hedyot who was Daryavesh. The Chsiv Alekachti An Polachle B'Sedira Hu Yeshei Zvinach. This is talking about when Daniel was thrown into the lions then. So Daryavesh says, oh, your God that you prayed to, he'll work it out for you. Chazal attributed that to be part of the reason Daniel was saved. It was a Birchas Hedyot. Fascinating. For Rabbi Lazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Another thing, Rabbi Lazar said the name Rabbi Chanina. Very similar. Altihi killas hedyot kalu b'inecho. I mean, it goes both ways. Just like a person shouldn't make light of a birchas hedyot, you shouldn't make light of a killas hedyot as well. Shari Avimelech killa Sarah. Avimelech cursed Sarah. What did he say? What did he tell her? Hinehu lach ksusei nayim. Right, one day, this whole scenario is going to cover your eyes. V'neskayim b'zara. The pasuk says, "Vayihi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena einav." Yitzchak became a saginar. Chazal attributed it to the klala of Avimelech, who said, "Hinei hulak susenayin." Very recently on Daf Tes, we spoke out Chassam Sofer, but more about things that Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Chanina, take a look at how differently HaKadosh Baruch Hu is than a Basar V'dam. Midas Basar V'dam, Adam Shoyfeis Kedera. If somebody wants to heat up water, So you put a pot on the stove and then you add the water. Right? You don't first put the water, then put the pot. That wouldn't work. The Eibush doesn't do that. The Eibush, when he wants to fill up something with water, first he puts the water suspends in the air, and then Hashem takes this clay kibble and he receives the water. What's this referring to? It's referring to the clouds. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts water in the Shemaim, and then the clouds come and they receive the water. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omrai, Mevi Geula La'olam. If somebody says over something somebody else's name, it brings the Geula Shema, V'atomer Esther La'melech B'Shem Mardechai. So this actually does have to do with what we're discussing. That Esther told the Melech in the name of Mordechai, and Chazal understood that that was part of the Geula. Because Esther said in the name of Mardechai, and we learn from it that Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omrai, Mevi Geula La'olam. So we always talk about how if someone says over Torah in somebody else's name, that the person who was nifter, his lips are moving, that's a reason to be Omer Davar B'Shem Omrai. This is another reason to be Omer Davar B'Shem Omrai. Because Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omrai, Mevi Geula La'olam. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Tzadik Avad L'Doyre Yavon. A tzadik dies and gets lost, it's a loss for the generation. But for the tzadik himself, the tzaddik's not lost, and he gave a beautiful mashal. Mashal la'adam sh'avdalei margolis. A person loses a diamond. He loses a pearl, a precious stone. Kol makim shehi margolis ma. The diamond is still a diamond. La'yavda el alabayla. The owner doesn't have it. But as far as the margolis is the same margolis regardless where it is. Same concept. The tzaddik is always alive, and the tzaddik's neshama is, it's a yoyim edahilula in shemaim. Unfortunately, in this world, for everyone else, it's a terrible loss. V'chol zeh, Einenu Shoivalis. Again, we're discussing things that Rabbi Lazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, but we're weaving in a few things that are also negating the Purim story. So Haman, when he saw Mardechai, he said, V'chol zeh einenu shavali. It's not worth anything. Pasha, he was a big balgaiva, and it bothered him that one person, Mardechai, was lo yichra v'lo yishtachu. Rabbi Lazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, I'll tell you the rest of the story. B'shashra, Haman as Mardechai, yesh b'shar ha-melech, Amar. When Haman saw Mardechai sitting b'shar ha-melech, he said, Kol zeh einenu shavali. Kid Rav Chizda. And the pshat is Rav Chizda. The Amar Rav Chizda said, Zeh ba b'pruz buli, v'zeh ba b'pruz butis. Rashi says, Buli is a lashon of oisher. Buti is a lashon of anios. Mardechai had a shtar of ashirus. Haman had a shtar of anios. What's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is at one point, Haman was an eved knani of Mardechai. And Mardechai told Haman, it's very nice that the king gave you everything. But here's the problem. The problem is, you're my eved. Masha kone eved kone rabbi. So when Haman saw Mardechai, it wasn't just, oh, Mardechai's one person. It wasn't just the gaiva. But Mardechai was a threat to everything that Haman had because of this relationship that they had had in the past. Rapapa said, that they used to refer to Haman, Avda the Mizdavin Betalmi. They referred to him as the slave who sold himself for some bread. Meaning he was at some point very, very poor, and he had to sell out, not for a lot of money. And they used to chep a little bit with Haman. V'chol zeh einenu shoyveli. Melamed, you learn from this, called Ganaz Shalai Sarasha, Chakukin Aliboy. He used to keep his whole inventory, he had his whole balance sheet, was literally on his chest. And when he saw Mordechai sitting, B'Shar HaMelech, Omar, he would point to his Ashirus, and he would say, Kol zeh einenu shoyveli. And this is matim with what Chazal say throughout Shasta. Wherever you see the word zeh or zois, it means there's something in front of you. You're pointing at something. So if the pasuk says, v'chol zeh einenu shoyveli, but kol zeh, that means he was looking at it. What do you mean he was looking at it? Kol zeh? The Teretz is, he had a tattoo that had all his whole Ashiris, and he would point at it. He would say, when he saw Mardechai, he said, you see this? It's a garnish vet. For Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyas HaTar Bereish Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one day, is going to be a crown on the head of every Tzadik. Shenemar, how do you know this? And the Gemara is going to darshan now a few psukim in Yeshaya Perek Chof Ches. So the Pasuk says, Bayeimahu Yi Hashem Tzvakos, La Teres Tzvi, V'Letzviras Tifara, L'sha'ar Amoy. ולרוח משפט, ליושב על המשפט, ולגבורה, משיבי מלחמה, שרה. וגם אלה ביין שגו ובשכר תו, כהן ונבי שגו בשכר נבלו מן היין תו מן השכר, שגו ברויה פוקו פליליה. A lot of words, three psukim, and the Gemara is going to darshan. It's again, Rabbi Loza in the name of Rabbi Chanino, that one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kavi Yochel, will be a crown on the heads of the tzaddikim. How do you know that? Bayemahu yeh Hashem tzvokos, la teres tzvi. Oh, it's mefurish. Hashem is going to be an atara. What's an atara? It's a crown. So you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a crown. My la teres tzvi v'le tzfiras tefara. Very wordy. A teres tzvi, tzfiras tefara. So the Gemara says, what it means is, lo oisin tzvyoinoi, v'la mitzapin tefartoi. Hashem is going to be a crown for the people that are oisin tzvyoinoi. They do the will of Hashem, but also for the people that are mitzapa for tefartoi. The people that are waiting, the mechakim liyeshuasai, they're waiting to see the teferes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're waiting to see the teferes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll see it. Now when you see the teferes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will literally be on the head of you. Yochel HaKoyel, so you would think, okay, any person that's oisin tzivyoinoi and is mitzapet tefartoi is going to be zoicha to this incredible hatova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be atar al roishet. Talmud lo yimar, no. The next words are, l'sha'or amoy, l'misha mesem atzme kishirayim. You have to have the midas anova. You have to feel and treat yourself like yishirayim. But if you think you're the ikar, it's not going to happen. Uluruach mishpat. What does that mean? It's referring to a person that he judges, he goes after his yetzahara, he fights his yetzahara. So if you're a dying, you better make sure you're an erlich dying. That's someone, again, that fights his yetzahara. These aren't warriors, they're not fighters, but these are people that they're involved in melchamta shel Torah. Sha'ara, אלו תמיד החכמים שמשכימים ומעריבים בבתי כנסיוס ובבתי מדרשס. These are the people that wake up early in the morning, they go to Beis Medrash. These are people that stay up late. Why is that Sha'ara? They open and they close the doors, literally. They're the ones that are opening the door in the morning. They're the ones that are shutting the lights. They're locking it at night. Omer, I didn't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Midas HaDin is going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Man Ishtanu Eilu Me'elu. Why are the Yidin at the end of days, why are they going to get all these gewaldige things? Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael Asku Ba'Taira. Because they learn Taira. See, Avoy Dezara, Daf and learn said Midas Adin is going to quote the next pasuk that says Gam Eile Bayayin Shagu Uvashecher Ta'u Paku Pliliya. They're going to say, what do you mean that even the Yidden, a lot of them did things that are not so good? Now, Ein Paku El Gehenim. Paku means Gehenim. Midas Adin wants these Yidden to be in Gehenim. Shenemar Laisiya Zoyis Lachal Fuka. And in that pasuk, Puka means Gehenim. The Ein Pliliya Elo Dayanim. Shenemar Venasam Ba Pliliya. Meaning they should all be judged, and that they should end up being in Gehenim. Either way, so the Gemara just digressed a little bit and mentioned a whole bunch of things that Rabbi Loza said in the name of Rab Chanina. Now, the truth is, of these Amar Rabbi Loza's Amar Rab Chaninas that were in the digression, there were two of them that were negeya, the narrative of the Purim story, but for the most part, these were digressions. A few famous Gemaras as well. Alti Bircha Sadid Kalabinacha, Alti Kilas Hadid Kalabinacha, Kalaim Dava Bishem Oimer, Mevi Gula Loilam. These are all things that Rabbi Loza said in the name of Rab Chanina. Regardless, we'll just pick up a little bit more. Says the Gemara, Vatamoy Bachatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis. So Esther is getting ready to enter. So it says that she stood. She's in the inner court of the king's house. So what does this mean? Rab Levi said, Kimi Chikil Beis Hatzlamin, when she passed all the Avodah Zarah of Achashverosh, Nistalke Men Hashchina, right? She was Lof Sheruach HaKadosh, and now all of a sudden she loses the Shechina. Amra, so she turns and she davens. She said, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani, Shema Atadon Al Shoigi Kemezid, Val Oynes Keratz. I mean, she thought that maybe the reason she lost the Ruach HaKadosh is because she had been living with Achashverosh for some time now. And she felt that maybe it's because of that she doesn't have the Schos of Ruach HaKadosh. Right? You can hear it. But she turns to the Abish, she says, Abish, you know, you're my witness. It was Ba'oynes. I never did it purposefully. I didn't want this. This is not something I wanted. So Shema Atadon Al Shoigi Kemezid Val Oynes Kerotzin. Oy. She said, I have another time. Shema Al Shekerotzin Kelev. She had referred to Achashverosh as a dog. And she said, maybe that's the reason. Now, how do you know she referred to him as a dog? Shema Atzilo Mecherev Nafshi Meyad Kelev Yechidasi. So to on the tzad that that's what it was. So she did tshuva for that. Chazra ukaratu arye shenemar hoshieni mipi arye. So what happened? The king saw Esther Hamalka, and when the king saw Esther Hamalka, oimedes b'chatzer nasachem be'ena. She was very noisachem by him. Vayoshet Hamalach Esther Sharvet Hazav. Right, that's the rest of the pasuk. So he takes his Sharvet Hazav. He takes his golden scepter and he stretches it out. Vatikrav Esther Vatigab Reisha Sharvet. And Esther touches the edge of the Sharvet. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan said, Gimel Malachi Ashar says, Dam Lo Ba'isa Shah. That Esther had three Malachi Asharis that were with her. We always talk about the Marsha that says that a person always has two Malachi Asharis. Maybe that's the Chiddush. But there was not two, but there were three. So she had three Malachi Asharis that were with her. Echad Shek Bia Savara, one of them lifted her neck because Esther had just been fasting and Esther was in a state of atzfos, not really a state where she would be noisachim be'inei ha-melech. So there was one malach that came just to make sure that Esther looked perfect. Ve'echad shemasha chutzal chesed aleh, one gave her a chutzal chesed. Ve'echad shemasa chesed sharvet. There was another one that stretched out the scepter of the king. So the Gemara says, the kama, how long did he stretch it out? Rabbi Yirmiyah said, shtei amos hayu, it was two amos, ve'amidei al shtei mesrei. And made it from 2 to 12. Amri Lassam say, Al Sheshrei. She stretched it out to 16. For Amri Lassam say, Esrim Va'arba 24. Masni Satan Abraisa said, Al Shishim was 60. Amschinat Amoitzabah Masashal Bas Pari. The Am of Bas Pari, where we all know Bas Pari's arm stretched out. How long did it stretch out? Says the Gemara, 60 Amis. The Braisa says 60 Amis was the Sharvet of the king. This was also 60 Amis. Amschinat Amoitzabah Shine Rishon. And you find the same thing regarding the teeth of the Risham. The Chassid, the Pasuk says, Shinei Risham Shibarta. Pasha, you knocked out the teeth of the Risham. Vamer Ish Lakish, but Ish Lakish said, Al Tikre Shibarta, Ella Shirbafta, which means they stretched out. Rabbi Bar Oifron Amma Mishum Rabbi Dez Hashem Mi Rabbi Vi Rabbi Mi Rabbi. This is the second time we had Rabbi Bar Oifron in Masechtas Megillah, not Ephraim Oifron. So Rabbi Bar Oifron said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, who heard from his Rabbi, that what? How long was it? Masayim. 200 Amis. Vayomer la hamelech, Maloch Esther Amalka, umabakoshosech, ad chatzi amalchus viseya. Says the Gemara, chatzi amalchus v'leikol amalchus. Achashverish offered Esther half the malchus, but not the entire malchus. Not, what does he mean? So the Gemara says that only half. Another diik, but v'loy dover shechaytitz the malchus, not the thing that separates the malchus. My new, what's the thing that separates the malchus? Binyan beis hamikdash. It was referring to binyan beis hamikdash. Either way, so Achashverosh tells Esther, "What do you want?" Atchatzia malchus v'seyos. What's Esther's response? So that we're going to see already in tomorrow's daf. But just to end the daf with three short ha'aris. Three ha'aris kitzaris as it relates to today's daf. So the first ha'aris, and this is something that we've spoken about in the past, but again, it's some ha'aris we just have to mention because you can't learn the daf without at least acknowledging it. That is, the Gemara said that when Esther went to Achashverosh this time, so she told Mordechai, I'm going to go. Ashaloi kados. I'm going to do it in a very unusual way. What does that mean? Amar Rabba Abba said, Shaloi kados haya. Shabachol yoyim v'yayim ad achshabayinus. Because up until this time, every time Esther went to appear in front of Achashverosh, she went bayinus. She was forced into going. But v'achshab beratzen. Now she was going beratzen. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that the fact that now she was going beratzen had halachic ramifications. Because she concluded and she said, "V'kasher avadati, avadati." What did she mean to say? "K'shem she'avadati mi beis abba, kach oivad mimcha." She said, "Until now, I was still mutter to live with you, Mordechai. Why? Because even though I'm an Eshesesh, and even though I was mezana with Achashverosh, but I was mezana b'oynes. But now that I'm going and I'm being mezana b'rotzen, so now I'm not going to be able to be with you anymore." So she told Mordechai that realized this is a suicide mission for me because kasher avadati avadati. And she mentioned the fact she lost her father, she lost her mother, and she gave all the tzaris that she's gone through in life and how lonely she is, especially living in the palace of the Persian king. And she said, "But this is something I'm going to do because I realize I have to give myself up for Klal Yisrael." And she says, "V'kasher avadati avadati." And of course, the background to this is the Gemara that we've seen earlier, and that is number one. Even though the Megillah says that Esther was raised by Mordechai, but Chazal say Atikri Levas Elo Levayis. Not just that, the Gemara says that Esther would live with Mordechai and Achashverosh at the same time. She was Yosheves Becheikoy Shel Achashverosh. V'toyveles, and then she was Yosheves b'cheker shel Mordechai. So she was living simultaneously with Achashverosh and with Mordechai. And Tosfos and Daf Yudgimel Amud Beis asked the Kasha, how is that possible? We know there's a concept of Avchana. Even an Almana or a Grusha has to wait 3 months before she gets married to somebody else. So how could Esther have been with Mordechai and Achashverosh at the same time? Tosfos says she was Meshamesh b'moich, Machloikis, the Marshan, the Shagasarye. Was she Meshamesh b'moich with Mordechai? Was she Meshamesh b'moich with Achashverosh and all the related Rebites for Inkam Akonim? But the point is, Esther was living with Mordechai and Achashverosh simultaneously. But that was only okay up until this point in the story. But now that she's going Beratz and Achashverosh, so from this point forward, this wasn't something that was going to be possible anymore. And that's what she meant when she said, V'kasher avadati avadati. Tosfos, right here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, asks a very obvious question. Says Tosfos, I don't understand. It sounds like this was a very big loss for Esther. The fact that it meant, because of what just happened, she'd never be able to be with Mordechai. It was a very posh teitzah. Why couldn't Mordechai give Esther a get? Let her give her a get. You give her a get, she wouldn't be an Eishes Ish. Now that she goes to Achashverosh Beratzen, she's not an Eishes Ish that's Mezana Beratzen. She's a non-married woman that was Mezana Beratzen, which she has no choice. She has to do for Atzolas Klal Yisrael. But the point is, she would be allowed to live with Mordechai again. Meaning, why was Esther not allowed to be with Mordechai? Because if she's married to Mordechai, an Eishes Ish, that's Mezana, Beratzin is Asa Levayla. That's the premise of Masechta Saita and of so many Sugis Hashas. So the issue is that she's a married woman. But to the extent that Mordechai would give her a get, so she wouldn't be a married woman anymore. It's Frey Toises, Vim Toimar, Amailoi Hoya Megarsha, Vetemu Teres, Lachzirena. Mordechai should have given her a get, and she would have been a non married woman like this. It would have been okay. Yeshloimar. So says Toises, Lafi, Shakom Maise Aget to Alpi Eidim. Because you can't just give a get. A get has to be Alpi Eidim. Eide Chasim Akarti, Eide Mesir Akarti. They have to be Edom. And they were afraid that once two people know, word's going to get out. And once word gets out, at that point, there could already be an issue. So Tosfos says, you're right. In theory, this would have been a very good idea. But they were worried. And they thought that it may undermine the mission. And this is all part of what Esther's willing to do. Kasher avadati avadati. She knows there may be a way out. But on the small chance that that can impact the situation, it wasn't something that she was willing to do. The Rajba, right here, Mesachtes Megillah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, he brings Tosfos Kasha, and he brings Tosfos Teretz. But he has a follow-up Kasha. He says that the Gemara says in Mesachtes Gittin that if a man wants to divorce his wife, if he's a Sofer, if he writes the get, there are Tzadim that it could be you don't need Eidim. Or maybe you would only need one aid. But there's an idea of Ksav Sofer, that if the Sofer himself would write it, it could be you wouldn't need aid. So the Rajba, according to that Sugi Mesachtes Gittin, that it's possible to write a get by yourself. And by doing that, you can get out of the whole situation. So why did Mordechai not divorce Esther? And you're going to tell me, says Tosfos, because he was worried about the Eidim. Just write it. And if you write it yourself like this, you're not going to need Eidim. So the Rajba says a possible teretz, but then he says that the whole kasha doesn't bother him. Why? Elisha divrei agadah. Because at the end of the day, this is all divrei agadah. The ein meshivin aleihem. He says you can't ask kashas from divrei agadah. Meaning, don't start using this story as a raya to what you can and cannot do in Masechtas Gittin. Because at the end of the day, all this is divrei agadah. And when it comes to divrei agadah, there's a concept of ein meshivin aleihem. So the rebbeit that we've spoken about in the past, and again, just to mention it. And that is the Noit Behuda in a tshuva. And this is in Yerideya Tinyana. It's Simen Kuf Samach Aleph. So the Shoyul had asked the Noit Behuda Shaila. And the Behuda wrote back that he doesn't want to answer this question because it's Negeya Divrei Agada. And because it's Negeya Divrei Agada, he's not answering it. He doesn't answer Shailas that are related to Divrei Agada. Now it seems the Shoyul understood that what the Noit Behuda was saying was is that he's not Machshiv Divrei Agada so much. And as a result, he doesn't answer Shailas and Divrei Agada. Kilo, if you ask me a question in Lomdus, I'll answer. But you ask me a question in Agadata, you know, Malucha Itzel Agada, Klach Itzel Nagam Vahal. It's like, that was the way the Shoyul understood what the Noit Behuda was saying. So the Shoyul wrote back to the Noit Behuda. He says, I understand, Noit Behuda, how you could say something like that. He says, you're making Leicht of Divrei Agada. He says, don't you know that the Rajba, The Rashba, who's the Mora de Lomdus, he wrote a whole sefer on Agadat Gemara, right? It's one of the volumes in the Mosadar of Kok Rashbas. It's an Agadat Gemara. So he told him, he says, the Rashba wrote a sefer on Agadat. So if the Rashba wrote a sefer on Agadat, how could you make light of Agadat Gemara? So the Nebuda writes back to the Shoyal. He says, number one, you obviously didn't understand what I meant. I'm making leicht of Agadata. Agadata Gemara, we know, is deeper than deep. Rabbi Elio Gutmacher that we spoke on in the first half of Masechtas Tainus and the last half of Masechtas Tainus. Rashi had special tefillas throughout Masechtas Tainus because he understood he's writing a pirush on the Masechta that's Ruba de Ruba Agadata. He says, not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, is that when it comes to writing tshuvas, I'm paskini things that are negeya, halacha lemaisa, and things that I can understand a little bit better, and things that you can base halacha from. But when it comes to Divrei Agada, you can't really take out halacha from it. And as a result, therefore, I'm not pasking in shaylos on Divrei Agada. And he says, you want me to prove it to you? He says, what was your big taina? Your taina was a Rashba, that the Rashba wrote on Agada. He says, I'm going to tell you something else the Rashba wrote. The Rashba, Masechtas Megillah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, and this whole Esek, that why did Mordechai have to lose Esther, he should have given her a get. Zok the Rashba at the end of the whole Shtikl Torah, because at the end of the day, Elish Adivri Hagodahein, the Ein Meshivin Aleim. So he says, the Rashba himself, who you're telling me is Exhibit A for what Agadat is, said that when it comes to Divrei Agada, Ein Meshivin Aleim. No, if Ein Meshivin Aleim, Divrei Agada, I don't either have to be Meshiv on Divrei Agada. And this was the night of Yudah's comeback line, epically, to the Shoyal in Yerudea, Tinyana, Simen Kuf Samachal. That's the first Hara. The second Hara, I heard from Yedidi, Rabbi Chanan Lipschitz. He told me that it bothered him. The Gemara said at the very beginning of the daf that Rochav HaZoyna was Zoycha, that 8 Nevi'im came from her. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman, Shmoyne Nevi'im, Vehem Koyhanim, Yotzu Mirochav HaZoyna, Ve'eluhem, Neiria, Baruch, Sroya, Mechasi, Miyo, Chilkiyo, Chanamel, Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda said even Chulda came from Rochav HaZoyna. So he asked Meiridik. He said the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah Daf Yud Amud Beis. We just learned the Gemara very, very recently. Kol Kala that's a tznua beveis chomer she zoicha v'yatzin mimena melachim in Avim. And we learned it from Tamar. Because Tamar had this tremendous midah of tznius, so she was zoicha to what? That was yatzin mimena melachim in Avim. So it seemed like from that Gemara in Daf Yud Amud Beis that what's the schos? What does a person have to do in order to merit that you should have Nevi'im come from you? You have to be a tznua. Rochav HaZoyna was zoicha that 8 Nevi'im came from her. It's a pella. Hagabah atzmecha. We learned the Gemara kol kalu that's a tznua beveis chamel. And here was just the opposite. The teretz is even better than the kasha. He said the pshat is because Rochav was megayer. And when Rochav was megayer, she did tshuva. And if she was zoicha to marry Yeshua Benun, it's poshet that she did tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'ahava, zdoines nasa schuyos. And we always speak out from the chsam soifer that what does it mean zdoines nasa schuyos? Every kezayis nevela that a person eats, if he does tshuva me'ahav, he's going to go up to Shemayim, they're going to give him schar as if he ate a kezayis from the Karban Pesach. And every time a person went to Bati Tartiyos and Bati Karkesiyos, if he does tshuva me'ahav, they're going to give him schar as if he went to the Beis HaKnesses and to the Beis Medrash. So the ganze pritzos, the ganze rochav hazoyna after she did tshuva me'ahav was what? It was all tznius. It was tznius, tznius, tznius. It was the gres the dargif in tznius. Because it was doines das in tzruyos. What was she zoicha to? Megillah Daf Yud. Kol Kala, that's a tznua. Zoicha v'yotzim imenu, Nevi'im u'malachim. Rochav didn't just have Nevi'im. She had shmoyne Nevi'im come from her. Yeish shoyim even a ninth. Why? Because after she did tshuva me'ahava, she went from being the biggest prutza, Rochav Azoyna, that's Yikara Shmoy b'Yisra, to being Rochav the tznua. And that's why she got the brocha that the tznua gets. Yotzim imenu shmoyne Nevi'im. That's the second hour. The third hour is, and this is really more general to the sugyas and Masechtas Megillah, and that is Rabbi Ruvi Margolis, one of the many svarim that he wrote, a sefer that we've quoted from many times, is called Oilolois. That's the name of the sefer. The sefer is called Oilolois. And sefer Oilolois, Simin Chaf Aleph, Rabbi Ruvi Margolis asks, that why is it when you go through the Megillah, very often the city of Shushan is referred to as Shushan, and very often the city of Shushan is referred to as Shushan Habira. Maishna, sometimes it's referred to as Shushan, and sometimes it's referred to as Shushan Habira. And if you just go through the Megillah, it's very clear. Asher b'Shushan Habira. Bishushan Habira, Lemigodovad Kotlan, Ish Yehudi Hoya, Bishushan Habira, the Afghan Melch Bikin Bechomodinus Malchusai, the Yikbetsu, as called Naira Besula, El Shushan Habira. But then again, you find that Toimer Esther, Lahoshev El Mordchai, Lech Knois, as called Yehudim Hanimtsin Bishushan. The Ir Shushan Tzaholav Esamecha, the Ir Shushan Nevoicha. You find that the Pasuk says sometimes Vatoymer Esther, Ma'amelach Toiv Yinasin Gamachal Ayhudim Asher B'Shushan. So sometimes it's Shushan Abira, and sometimes it's Shushan. So Maishna, sometimes it's Shushan Abira, and sometimes it's Shushan. So Reuven Margolis said that the truth is this was always a mystery, he believes, but recently There was an archaeological find, he said, in Iran, and he believes that it opens up a little bit of a mafteach to be able to understand this. So what did the archaeologists find? They found that in the ancient city of Shushan, there was a large area that was like almost like a miniature city where the castle and the palace and where the king and a lot of the dignitaries lived. That area was surrounded by a body of water, and on the other side of the water, there was a city, and it's clear that the two cities were related to each other, but there was like an inner, more dignified, more chashuv part, and then there was the outer part. This is what the archaeologists discovered. Said Rav Reuven Margolis, it's poshut to him. That's the cheshbon. He said the city at large was called Shushan, but within the city of Shushan, there was a small area that was called Shushan Abira. And Shushan Abira was where the Melech lived. So the Melech lived in Shushan Abira. The dignitaries were all in Shushan Abira. So the city at large was Shushan. That's the capital. You know the capital of this kingdom? It was Shushan. Within Shushan, there's a small city called Shushan Abira. And it really is its own city. It has its own zip code. In fact, it's separated by a body of water. So said Reuven Margolis, that if you go through the psukim, it's very, very clear. Ba'yom ha'mahem, k'sheves ha'melech achashverosh, al kisei malchusoy, asher, b'shushan habira. V'yafgir ha'melech pekidim, b'chom medinois malchusoy, v'yikpitzu es kol nara b'sula toives mara. Where are all these women being rounded up? Where are they going to go? El shushan habira, el beis ha'noshim, el yad heges, riz ha'melech shoymer ha'noshim. V'nosin tamruket, ish yehudi hoyev. Where? B'shushan Abira. His name was Mordechai. Mordechai was a dignitary. He was a government official. So where's this government official going to be? It's Bashan. He's going to be in Shushan Abira. Harotzim yatsu tchufim b'dvar ha-melech v'ados nitna b'shushan Abira. Because that's where it is. That's where the Senate is. That's where Congress is. That's where the government is. It's all based in Shushan Abira. But in the same pasuk, v'ha-melech v'ha-man yashvu lishtois, v'ha-ir Shushan. It's the whole city. Because really, the whole city was at risk. But every time there's something that's happening from a royal perspective, it's going down in Shushan Abira. So the city of Shushan is made up really of two parts. It's made up of the greater city Shushan. Within the city of Shushan, you have Shushan. Lech Knois is Kol HaYehudim HaNimtsim B'Shushan. It's not Shushan Abira. There it's going to be Shushan. And he says, you go through every single pasuk, you're going to understand it literally Kemin Chayma. One of the things he says is at the end of the Megillah. So what happened? It was v'napachu le'Yehudim, right? There was a v'napachu. What was the v'napachu? Instead of Yud Gimel's Man Kila L'Choli, instead of that being the day that all the Amalekim were going to be able to kill the Yidden, it was v'napachu. So they killed Haman, and they hung his 10 sons. And then the pasuk says that the king got a tally. Right, he comes, he gets a briefing. Ba'yoy mahu, they tell the king, Ba mispar ha'arugim b'shushan habiru lefnei ha'melech. Ba'yoy ma'melech lester ha'malko, b'shushan habiru, he says, you know, shushan habiru, hargu ha'yehudim, va'abed chamesh me'yosish. They killed 500 people. Va'aseis ha'seris b'nei Haman. They went ahead and they killed him as well. Va'tayimra Esther, what does Esther say? Right, we know what Esther says. She says, I want one more day. But said Rav Reuven Margolis, look more carefully in the pasuk. Esther tells the king, Imal HaMelech Toiv, Yinasein Gan Mochar La Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Lasois Kedos Hayoim Ves Aseres B'nei Haman Yitlu Alo Eitz Vayomer HaMelech Leheosis Kein Vatinasein Dos B'Shushan Ves Aseres B'nei Haman Tolu. Poshet, she just wanted one more day. But it's a little more. The original v'nahapachu was only for Shushan Abira. So the nekama was only for that little area in Shushan Abira, and they killed 500 people. Bom mispara arugim b'shushan habira lefnei hamelech. Vayem hamelech lester hamalko b'shushan habira hargu hayehudim. But what did she want? She didn't only want to take the kamer from Shushan Abira. Literally one pasuk after the next. Shushan Abira, Shushan Abira, Shushan, Shushan. What, this is all coincidence? That it goes from Shushan to Shushan Abira. The teretz is because there were two places. There was Shushan Abira and there was Shushan. And Haman lived. He was a dignitary in Shushan Abira. So the original nekama, Mordechai was going to be killed in Shushan Abira. That's what the nekama was. But what Esther wanted was, she wanted it to be in Shushan as well. But said Rav Reuven HaGolis, that where is he basing this on? He's basing it on because the archaeologists discovered that there was a Medina b'toich Medina. What were those two Medinas separated by? They were separated by a body of water. So says Rav Reuven HaGolis, and this is classic, he says, I think with Fizeh we can understand the Gemara that we just learned a little bit better. The Gemara says that when Mordechai fasted, so it says Vayavar Mordechai, he was Vayavar. It says, what does it mean Vayavar? So the Gemara said two pshatim. One pshat Vayavar means that they were over. Shehever yom rishon shal Pesach betaynis. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, the avar arkuma demaya. He went over a body of water to tell the Yidden to fast. What was this body of water that he crossed over? Said Rav Reuven HaGolis, it's Pashit, this was the body of water. He was an Ish Yehudi that was Hoyo B'Shushan Habira. He crossed over the body of water. He went to the city of Shushan. And that's why right after it's Vayir Shushan Avoicha, Lech Noises Kol HaYehudim Asher B'Shushan. So if he had to go to Shushan, he had to take the ferry. He had to go over the body of water. And that's what he did. The Vayavar means he was over. And that's the rest of the story. So we know the story of Shushan, or is it Shushan Habira? Sakhtar Ruhum Margolis, they're both true. There was a place called Shushan, and there was a place called Shushan Habira.